This fan-run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
For a six-pack of truth.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Too much emphasis is put on originality. Feel free to take ideas and update them at your will. All great artists take and update, except for us.
That's true. We're 100% original.
We're not stealing content for this segment.
That's right.
Not at all.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Cars have four wheels. Hoodies have hoods. It's amusing to me when someone says, this is an original hoodie. Bro. It's a hoodie. It's a hoodie. I can't do this.
On 1340 WKGN.
I am Warhol. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh, Walt Disney.
Two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hit us with some Hour 2 headlines, Draven.
We had the return of Simone Biles to gymnastics competitions. I guess, what was that, last night? Did you guys watch that any? On the balance beam?
No.
She didn't end up...
I think it was like 4:30 in the morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I didn't watch it.
Did you stay up for the whole men's basketball game?
Whenever USA went up like 14...
You knew it was over.
Yeah, like Spain had the first 5 minutes of that field goal in the third quarter. Like, it was just Rubio trying his hardest to get fouled. And like, I was like, okay, I'm done for this.
Yeah. Well, Simone Biles did finish with bronze on the balance beam. Maybe, I don't know. You guys see that as a little... Is that a little disappointing, though, to kind of end on that after the whole... situation. I don't know. When people said she was coming back, I think people got kind of excited for her to
try to win gold.
Yeah, maybe kind of, like you said, maybe go out on the high horse there, you know, go out on gold would be kind of nice for her.
To me, I just viewed it as when she said she was coming back, it was her farewell.
You think so?
Yeah, just her, like, not wanting to end her career as... you know, someone who, you know, had to withdraw, like, rather than, you know, just come out and finish, got a medal. I mean, I think it helped her set a record, right? Didn't she? Didn't that, like, put her, I think, past?
Yeah, it was the seventh career Olympic medal for Biles, who tied with Shannon Miller for the most by an American in gymnastics. So
okay,
apparently
so she
tied.
At least got to tie the record, okay.
Feels like she should go for one more year and try to beat it.
One more year? It'd be 3 years from now. She,
I know, but I mean, how old is she?
You have a short
24?
Shelf life.
Like, I mean, she's already old.
Yeah, like 8 years. Yeah. Much.
She's also the GOAT, though, man. You don't think she could just give it one more run?
I don't think she can.
Not even as the star? Well, I was going to say that. That was kind of some of the quotes that she had. She did say, I didn't think I was going to be doing it when she was talking about the beam. It just meant the world to be back out there. I wasn't expecting to walk away with the medal. I was just going out there doing this for me, which I think was pretty cool.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Which, I mean, did, in the event she pulled out, didn't, like, we medal?
We got silver, right?
Like, pretty much everyone that, well, I mean, like, then, like, the people that replaced her in, like, the floor exercise, didn't they win gold?
Yeah,
the
white girl won gold. Yeah, like, did, yeah. No, we were still winning. Like, we don't, like, for future gymnastics, we don't necessarily, like, need her to have success. But
put over a couple of her teammates, good for her.
Absolutely.
I'm glad she got to get back out there and at least compete. And winning a bronze might be disappointing, I don't know, but she got the medal and she got to leave on her terms.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I wasn't up at 4:30 this morning watching it.
I'm sure they'll have it replayed tonight at some point.
Yeah, I'd say it'd be
it's still
time.
So hard to keep up with this, man. It's still so difficult to keep up with what's live, what's recorded.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
Just,
by the way,
assume
I was watching,
it's not live.
I was watching water polo. Man, that has to be one of the more just.
That's gotta be the most difficult sport in the world.
Right? Like, just looks absolutely exhausting. I'm not a very good swimmer either. Maybe that's why I just kind of feel that way, because it just looks crazy.
And also to, like, be able to tread water and then jump out of the water to get out there.
Be cramping up out there, man. Jeez. USA, I'm pretty sure they got smacked by, I think it was Italy they were playing or somebody.
Not the women, though. The women never lose.
The women dominate?
They say our women's water polo team is the best thing we got going. Like, they have
really?
Yeah,
they know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the men's were getting kind of beat down. I don't know if it may not have been Italy. I can't remember. But some more NFL news. Tom Priscillo tweeting out that the NFL is now at 90% of players vaccinated overall, John.
Before you go there, hold on. So here's what I saw. So in between winning their second straight gold in the 2016 Olympics and the start of this Olympics, Teams USA women's water polo team played 131 games. They went 128-3. They
128-3?
Yeah. Sheesh. 2012 Olympic gold, 2014 World Cup gold, 2015 World Champs, 2016 gold in the Olympics, 2017 World Champs, 2018 World Cup, 2019 World Champs, and now looking for gold. Yeah, so like,
this might be a stupid question, but like, do we have professional like water polo teams here in the U.S. or like how does that work? What do they do not during the Olympics? Do they have? I'm sure there's leagues somewhere.
They just
tread
water for 4 years, and then they come out of hibernation. And
I think it's a valid question. I mean, do they have competition? I'm sure they do, but like,
I would imagine no. I would say they probably don't.
Do you think it's just all about this Olympics?
Yeah.
That just seems crazy to me.
They definitely got to be training somewhere, though. Like, you
well,
know,
yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure
years.
They're training, but like, I'm sure they're working other jobs and stuff. I mean, like,
well, I was reading about the volleyball players because I was curious about the volleyball players, if they had like leagues here, professional leagues or what, because obviously don't hear about it, but I saw a lot of them play in the league, like, I can't remember, some other country, like Slovenia. It may not even been Slovenia. It was one of some country like near Russia, I know.
Which I know
that was
beach,
like
with the
professional
beach
league.
Duos, they have like leagues and like do summer tours.
Yeah, I was talking about the hard floor, but yeah.
But no, I don't think anyone's lining up to watch watch them play water polo, really. I can't imagine that makes any money at all.
I'm just curious how they kind of get, you know, selected, too, because they got to be playing.
Tryouts.
They got to be doing something.
Tryouts.
Yeah, either way. Back to the NFL. As I mentioned, John, the NFL is now at 90% of players vaccinated overall. That seems like a really big jump from
90%?
Where we're 90% is what Tom Priscillo is tweeting out. What did we say that they were at last week? Wasn't it like closer to 60%, if that?
I guess everyone kind of felt like Ryan Tannehill. Just like, hey, might as well get it.
You think some of these coaches had a little bit of impact on that too? Like you had Mike Zimmer, you had Ron Rivera.
Well, Zimmer and Rivera ain't got it done yet, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're still mad, so I would say that they haven't gotten their situation taken care of.
Other NFL news, Deshaun Watson, who has been at practice for the majority of the time so far in camp. Of course, kind of not doing a whole lot. He even said that he was lining up at safety at some points, but he's not on the field for the first day of padded practices. This is from Ian Rappaport. So, big deal, little deal, no deal, John, that Deshaun Watson is not there. Do you think that this means
no deal?
No deal at all?
They said trainers were looking at him yesterday.
Yeah, he said he's like they're doing something with his foot, which, yeah. You know, you don't want to make the. God.
Carson Wentz, oh no. It's contagious.
What is going on with the foot injuries?
Well, I was going to say putting him out there around more trainers or whatever, but I mean, they're not counting on him this year anyways, so like, I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay. I just think it's interesting. I mean, all of a sudden him just kind of sitting out. Going to be kind of curious to see how that all works out, but either way, like I said, not at practice. We'll see what happens there. Some more NFL news for you. John Gruden was talking to Peter King. Interesting that he had this comment. He said John Gruden not under a win now mandate from Raiders ownership, despite not even having a winning season yet with the Raiders. You buying this that Gruden's not even on any type of hot seat going into the season?
10-year deal.
10-year deal. But then again, like I said, I mean,
what are they gonna do? Fire him?
4-12, 7-9, 8-8. I guess they've been improving at least, but it's like they've also been, 6-4 the last 2 years and kind of fell apart the second half of the season.
I mean,
no hot seat at all?
I guess maybe, but like again, I don't see them swallowing $60 million of a buyout. I mean, didn't he get like a $10 million? Didn't he basically get a $100 million deal for 10 years? I mean, wasn't that pretty much the number reported?
Yeah.
And also, Mark Davis, like, loves him. Like, as a brother. Like, kind of weirdly as, like, a father figure, even though he's, like, older than John Gruden. It's weird. Like, I don't see him firing Gruden. Now, you know, if they fell apart and were awful, sure, but.
Okay. I think I feel like there's a little bit of pressure on this season, at least make the playoffs, but we'll see.
I would say there's not to make the playoffs, but
you think they miss the playoffs again 4 years not making the playoffs that they wouldn't be like a little bit of tension.
Again, I don't think they're gonna fire him. I think they love Gruden. Like Mark Davis loves him.
All right. We'll see.
Now if they're awful and like, you know, regress and everything, then sure, but like I don't know. I think there's love there.
Yep. Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen, of course, going into a big year this year, but of course the contract talks have been of the conversation as he's trying to get him a new deal. But GM Brandon Bean says that once week one hits, contract talks are over. No longer on the table. Says, you know, when the season starts, they are going to focus on the season and not worry about that and not have that distraction coming through. Do you think this is a good idea, bad idea? With, I mean, I think, you know, you want to try to get a deal done when you're not talking for a whole entire season.
Sure.
Might make that a little bit more difficult.
I would say they can still get a deal done.
Not worried about it.
Who was this for again?
Josh Allen.
Yeah. We'll get the deal done, but yeah, he just wants to focus on the season. I don't hate him for that.
Yeah. You think he deserves a highest paid quarterback kind of money?
He's going to get it. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, giving this is.
You think he gets more than Lamar Jackson? That's what I'm wondering, because well, these two are going to get this contract pretty much right about the same time.
I think if they put the conversation on hold, it kind of almost depends on how he plays this year.
Yeah. I don't even think it really matters. I just think every quarterback that's up for a contract is going to be bigger than the last one, it seems like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Typically how it goes either way.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like that would be the case.
Who do you think gets paid more at the end of the day, Lamar or Josh Allen? Because like I said, both their contracts are going to be coming pretty much at the same time.
It'll be interesting to see the guarantee shakeouts and the money shakeouts because, I mean, both guys are going to want a lot of money, and Baltimore loves Lamar. I'd say Lamar's under more pressure for his contract than Josh Allen is, though, just because Lamar kind of has to keep improving as a passer, and Allen has to kind of do that a little bit less. Like, he's a better passer already, and the athleticism is still there.
Yep.
Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Some more free agency news as Andre Drummond leaves Los Angeles. He's going to go be the backup center in Philadelphia, which is funny because I guess they're just basically trading Dwight Howard for Andre Drummond.
Yeah. Dwight went to the Lakers, huh? Didn't he? We didn't, I don't think we mentioned that.
Right.
And the fact that Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond hate each other.
Yeah, how's
I that love that tweet he had. Was it? I owed a lot of real estate to Andre Drummond's head, and I'm on my way to build more. Hashtag bum. Hashtag the process.
Yeah, that's really
great. That's great.
And in the tweet has three pictures of, you know, one of him in Drummond's face, two with him carrying a wheelbarrow full of bricks, and then three, another one of him hitting a jumper over Drummond. So does seem a little crazy that they are going to team up.
Trust the process.
Hashtag trust the process. We got that going for us. Did Josh Heupel say anything noteworthy? Have we seen anything that was really noteworthy as he talked? We're looking for any answers of how we're going to address this season. Which, by the way, one of the funniest tweets I saw yesterday was Josh Heupel dressed up. Did you guys see that one? They had, I guess, Josh Heupel did a photo shoot or something. Was in like a white dress shirt and had a little goofy smile and. Someone had asked about, you know, you guys good over on breadsticks over here? As if he is a waiter from the Olive Garden. And it has made me laugh for about 24 hours straight. As it's a perfect tweet. It is a perfect tweet.
I didn't like the Tim Banks got asked whether his group has enough D linemen to get through the season. He said, don't know. Hope we do. That's what we're working toward. Well, that doesn't sound very confident.
I mean, I don't know if we're working towards it. It feels like for a while we were actively working against it.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, you know, processing defensive linemen. Maybe he was mad. Maybe that's him, like, taking a shot at old Rodney for running off everybody. Like, hey, we're trying to get some bodies here.
Mm-hmm.
Still under the 80% vaccination mark, he said.
Josh Heupel on the difference in the inside linebackers room just says it's a lot different, just a much different room now. Got some of the older guys healthy, got some new guys. Whatever the hell that means.
So there's no conversation with the administration about self-sanctioning. So I guess we're just waiting in the...
Is that true? Do we believe that? Because it seemed like they had done a pretty good job of, like, with the scholarships of kind of putting something in place there. So I don't know if I believe that one.
I don't know. Wouldn't you kind of just want to wait and see? Especially like we talked about yesterday with how the NCAA kind of, like Cam said, don't really know if they want to get involved in this right now with everything going on, NIL, moving of conferences. Maybe UT should just wait and see.
Yeah, going to be a lot going on. May get lost in the shuffle.
That's exactly.
Lose our paperwork.
Our offensive coordinator, Alex Golish, says he didn't want to have to name a starting quarterback. He does not want it to be known who the starting quarterback for Tennessee is going to be whenever they play Bowling Green.
Oh, no. Gotta hide it from Bowling Green. Don't want them to start game planning now for...
Then follows it up by saying, I don't know if that is possible or not here. Seems like it's not. Is that like a...
That was a jab.
They took a jab. Well, I think he's talking about the social media. And
that's what I'm saying. Like the fan base is just talking about he's not going to be able to keep anything secret. Or is that saying there's leaks in the office? Yeah. Or is that just hey, we're going to be basically, you guys are going to demand that you guys know who's starting at quarterback? It's Bowling Green, bro.
Yeah, you don't need to hide it from Bowling Green.
It's Bowling Green.
If you need to hide your quarterback from Bowling Green so they can't game plan, we have a lot bigger problems.
Especially because, I don't know. I guess I take that back. Everyone's pretty much got tape out now, right? It's not. I was going to say it's all unknown, but I guess Bailey's got tape.
Yeah.
Hooker's got tape.
Mauer's got tape.
They all got tape. Okay, so I guess there's no real risk of a newcomer, a freshman quarterback playing. And we got nurse kicked off the team for drugs and drugs and such.
And being an idiot.
So everyone else has had tape.
Golish did say a week and a half is the goal to get it to get down to the top two, maybe three.
Have we not already done that? Can we not already kind of narrow it down a little bit? We only have four. you gotta take another week and a half to narrow it down from four to three? Is that what he's saying? This is just already giving me a headache. We're going to have all four of these guys probably in week one. I could see all four of them playing against Bowling Green. And how frustrating is that going to be when we have these just carousel of quarterbacks? That's what's going to happen, isn't it? We should just go ahead and brace for that. Probably against Pitt, too. We could see all four guys getting thrown out there.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think we're going to have a solidified starter the first, at least 3 or 4 weeks of the season. Maybe until we get to SEC play. That's what I think.
Is that not the worst thing that can happen for Heupel?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, need someone totally. to take it over. You got to have a guy.
Let's just go ahead and say, we don't know a lot about this upcoming season here for Josh Heupel and the Vols, but isn't the one thing he has to have is solid quarterback play?
Yeah. Yeah, with his style of offense, and that's what they said. They're looking for somebody that can run this offense efficiently, at least. It's a pretty straightforward offensive system,
And that concerns me, Cam, because it's almost none of these guys have really stepped up. It kind of feels like the way they're talking, it's all four guys are kind of waiting to see, which guy kind of embraces that, takes on the role a little bit as the starter.
They're all not great, so I think they're all around the same talent level, so you're just trying to see who's going to, just stick with it and make smart plays, I think, and I think they're just getting, they haven't been around these guys super long. I think they're still trying to get used to who's got their head on right, who's got, makes the right smart decisions. If they all have similar arm talent, if you want the guy that makes the better decisions and just knows what he's doing more out there, and I think that's kind of what they're trying to look for.
I'm not that worried about them not having a quarterback just yet.
Not at all.
I think it's a testament that, we've just got basically two newcomers that are here, and I think that we got two guys that are here that didn't take the bull by the horns last year. I don't think – would Tennessee fans be excited if we had a quarterback already named? If it was one of the two you are – I feel like it gives it time to pick everything apart, right?
Absolutely.
When you have four guys and you have the quarterback play of – really any of these guys. Joe Milton wasn't great at Michigan last year. Hendon Hooker wasn't great at Virginia Tech. Harrison Billy wasn't great at Tennessee. Brian Mauer was awful at Tennessee.
Yep.
If any one of those four guys were named, to me that would be almost even more problematic.
I don't think so. You wouldn't think Joe Milton coming in. He wasn't here during the spring, but he was able to come in, make his impact, win the starting job already. That would be impressive. I think people would get excited. Hey, this guy who wasn't even here at spring is now our starter. He must be pretty impressive so far through camp.
To me, it would give people plenty of time to go dissect the film and be like, oh, God, this guy's not ready.
Maybe. We could do that with all of them.
I think if you say, that's kind of my point. I don't want any of them to be named yet because I think it needs to be a competition.
but at the end of the day, we all know they all kind of have their flaws.
Sure,
like,
but does it not seem better if you create the illusion that it was a hard-fought camp, and then, like, you know, 2 weeks before the game, this guy just separated himself. He's the guy. He's won it. His teammates responded to him really well in fall camp. Like, he won the team over in fall camp right now because we've gone months without a quarterback. I would find it to be just completely premature and, like, a kind of a joke if they went ahead and had one ready now because, again, at least this way, I feel like you could paint the picture, create the illusion that someone took the bull by the horns and took over the team. And, wow, the strides he made coming back from spring were just jaw-dropping. He added 10 pounds of muscle. Whatever you need to say to do it, like, you know, if it's Milton, it's just like, hey, you know, with the team. And, you know, he was the best guy we had because he wasn't here in the spring. But, like, I do think the absolute worst-case scenario for Josh Heupel is just bad quarterback play this year. Because the idea of Josh Heupel was that he can make the offense work with any quarterback, right? Like, or that you're going to get quarterback play. Like, that is the one reason he was hired, is that he can fix your quarterback. And he's got four of them. He couldn't fix one of them.
I was going to say, it'd be more disastrous if you all four go out there and look bad.
Oh, sure,
I mean, it would be just...
Well, yeah, when I say good quarterback play, I just mean from anybody.
Like, right.
It doesn't
have
to be one particular guy. But, like, I mean, honestly, I feel like the offense, if you do play two guys, should look pretty similar. Because, again, these guys are all... seem to be pretty comparable, at least. Like, there shouldn't be a big drop-off of, like, oh, we lost our starter, now our offense is terrible again. Like, I feel like you should be able to get solid play in this offense from really almost any of these guys, or the guys that hit the field, at least.
That's also the problem, man. It's like, usually quarterback battles are two guys. This is four guys. Like, four guys who, like, we still have zero idea. Like, who do you feel the best about right now, as of right now?
Like, best who, I feel right now?
Yeah, out of these four quarterbacks, who would you want to name the starter if you had to name one right now?
I mean, I guess Milton.
And you sound pretty doubtful about that, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, again, I didn't think he was great at Michigan. I mean,
Hooker.
I didn't watch Hooker at Virginia Tech. I'll be honest. Like, I at least watched some Milton plays. They weren't very good, but damn it, if I don't see him in that jersey and just think, wow, he's a big old boy.
Yeah, he's huge. He is a big guy.
Like, he looks the part of, like, a good quarterback. Like, you know, 6'6".
Yeah.
But again, like, I wasn't impressed with him at all at Michigan. And Hooker, I'll be honest, I didn't watch. Did you watch? Have you checked out any Hooker?
I saw a little bit. I haven't watched him in a while, but, I mean, he was pretty serviceable at Virginia Tech.
And he runs like Josh Dobbs. Yeah. He looks like – I'm still worried about the report when he transferred that we read about, like, you know, him basically, like, literally freezing on the field, like, his body, like, freezing and, like, him
– oh, yeah.
It's basically like, I don't know, his body just shut down due to pressure. Like, that worries me
a little bit.
That's
so strange.
Yeah. You don't need that in the quarterback.
So I don't know. But again, overall, the worst thing that could happen for Heupel in game one is have bad quarterback play. Like, I do think ultimately it would behoove him to have one guy play most of the game. Now, if you blow them out and you put another guy in there to get reps, whatever, that's fine. But, like, I don't want to do, like, the quarterback juggling with him because he should be able to lock down the quarterback position. That's a Jeremy Pruitt move. So I disagree that we'll see four against Bowling Green. I mean, I know you're exaggerating a little bit, but I don't think you'll see more than one against Bowling Green, and I hope you don't see more than one against Pittsburgh again, unless it's just a blowout or something, or an injury, of course, but, like, or you're doing, like, some, maybe, you know, there's caveats, of course, if you want to put Milton in. I don't know if you'd put him in at the goal line or Hooker at the goal line for, like, some type of running package or whatever, but, like, Tennessee needs a good quarterback,
yeah,
or a quarterback that's, like, controlling the team.
And then, yeah, I think they are going to get one that is the full time starter. But I think definitely, like, the way they were talking, one of those guys will have a situational role. It seems like if it is like a Milton or somebody like that, you bring in like for goal line situations or red zone stuff. I don't know, but it seems like they're gonna
use more than one at some point.
It seems like.
I don't like this. I think this is bad. I think this is going to be bad. No,
I don't want to act like I don't think it's going to be bad because I ain't sold either. But I'm, I don't have a problem that we're at camp and every quarterback still feels like they have a chance, or at least reportedly, like, no one's been eliminated. Like, I do think it'll shake out in a week or so, and you'll quickly see, like, okay, these two guys are better than these two guys, or at least, like, one guy sucks. He's out of here. Go ahead and get your transfer bags ready, buddy. Like, you're going to get out of here. It will create some excitement whenever a quarterback is named, though. But, it still seems crazy to me that when we put those polls, like, Harrison Bailey still getting over 50% of the vote, that people think he's going to be the starting quarterback, because I do not feel that way.
I don't either.
I do not feel that way.
Not in this offense. Have we sold Harrison Bailey too quick?
Maybe. I mean,
it was
on
a terrible team last year. Like, let's
sure.
give us cut him a little slack, I guess.
Sure. That's perfectly reasonable. That's perfectly reasonable. I don't want to say I've given up on him, but again, we had this conversation before, but whenever you have a spring practice and you come out of it and you're adding another quarterback,
yeah,
worries me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Worries me a little bit. Although we know Maurer kind of stinks, or at least that's my takeaway on him. And maybe Heupel didn't look at Hendon Hooker as a reliable backup, so they brought in Milton to at least contend for the backup spot. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe the Harrison Bailey camp is right. Maybe we have given up on him too soon. We will find out. It is nice to have media day here and, you know, spring fall practice getting ready to kick off, fall camp.
Mm-hmm.
Football close. Close.
Yeah, it's creeping up.
I mean, yesterday made the 1 day, or the 1 month, excuse me. Like, we're playing on September 2nd, so mm-hmm. now we're inside of a month.
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting. I was laying in bed last night. I mean, just exciting to have stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
no, for sure.
And exciting just to have football back in general, whether or not it's the Vols that keep you excited. Like, that means football will be back. I did find myself laying in bed last night thinking about the first voluntary reaction on that Thursday night.
Ooh, yeah.
Then I was like, oh my God, are we supposed to do this at 11:30 at night? And then, like, is it going to go into the morning? We're just going to not do it since we got a morning show, like, to recap, or what the hell are we going to do? I don't know. But I was thinking about it in bed last night. It was probably why I couldn't sleep. Probably why I had to put on Team USA against Spain.
Just so excited, aren't you? Just can't even sleep.
I mean, like a
kid on Christmas Eve, huh?
I mean, I was stressed and dreading it. I was like, oh man, only a month before we have to start worrying about this stuff. Because I tried to go to bed early last night. I turned my TV off, went up to my room at like 11:15.
Wow.
Took a dog out, went up to bed at 11:15, and it was 2 o'clock before I fell asleep. 2:30.
Nice.
I got to get back on drugs. Someone told me I should start smoking weed. It'll help me sleep.
So they say.
It's possible.
So they say.
Take some CBD stuff.
There you go.
CBD stuff, the legal stuff, you're right. What is it called? The melatonin?
Oh, yeah.
Melatonin knocks you out, man.
It didn't really knock. I don't know. I slept good, or I went to sleep, so I don't know if it was it knocking me out. It probably was, but it just gave me too crazy of dreams. Too vivid. Oh,
really?
Dreams. Yeah. Too vivid of dreams.
You don't like kind of a cool, vivid dream every now
sometimes,
and then, you know?
Sometimes.
Sometimes it gets a little crazy. It gets a little weird.
If you're in a bad headspace and you're having vivid dreams, it's not good.
Right.
It's not good. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I guess some context to those numbers you gave us during headlines, Draven, in terms of the vaccination, especially for the NFL players. You said they're up to 90%.
Yep. 90%.
We talked about, you know, Minnesota and Washington and, you know, how they, you know, had dealt with their struggles, but according now to a team source, the Washington football team is now up to 84%. That's a 24% increase from last week. So,
wow.
Whenever your teams that are dragging you down start getting up to that number, that's how you get to 90%. I don't know.
Barrett's speech worked, I guess.
I don't know where Minnesota's at yet, but yeah, the football team now up to 84%, which, you know, had really they were really frustrated in terms of their numbers last week. Like Cam said, when Rivera had to give his speech about how they're killing him, or could kill him.
Sounds like it worked.
Anything else in the NFL catch your eye right now? We're getting close.
Your boy, Stafford, a little banged up. Ooh, my finger. Ooh, my finger hurts.
Do that for Stafford when your boy Wentz is hurt?
He's not my boy.
He is your boy.
You can bring up Dak.
You were very big on those Wentz's.
I thought he was going to be good. He got injured.
He did. I'm sure he did say Wentz is better than Stafford. Wentz is.
Yeah. Better than Stafford. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I strongly believe that.
Again, I don't know if you could talk about a quarterback whining about being hurt whenever you've planted your flag. And
Matthew Stafford's battled some injuries in his time. Let's not act like Matthew Stafford's just Mr. Clean and Perfect over
that's,
there.
That's fun. I'm not.
Was it two years ago he missed pretty much the whole season?
I'm not a Matthew Stafford fan. I don't. I haven't planted my flag in his camp like you did with Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. I simply, the only takes I want to get on record for Matthew Stafford, better than Jared Goff, better than Carson Wentz.
Yep. I will agree with that.
He's better than Jared Goff. I never said he was not better than Jared Goff.
You said it was
pretty close. I said it was close. I said the get. No, I never said they're the same. See, now you're putting words in my mouth.
I'll go back and find the tape.
Go ahead and go find it. I said they're the same. They were, and you actually said the gap was close.
Jared Goff's been to a Super Bowl. What are we doing here? Jared Goff's better.
He has been to a Super Bowl.
Look at all the wins Jared Goff has. What are we talking about here, John? Stafford's never won a playoff game. So don't come on here now and say you're
pretty decent success, yeah.
Because you didn't. You didn't.
It's just, again, it's all about narratives that get drawn up. Matthew Stafford, poor Matthew Stafford, stuck in Detroit with, again, maybe what, second or third greatest receiver of all time?
Well, we're not going through this again. What's wrong with him now? What's wrong with him now?
He banged up his little thumb.
So his throwing hand, though, he hit a helmet or something?
Yeah, he hit a helmet.
More people don't hit helmets on follow-throughs, honestly.
That's what he did, yeah, said he hit a helmet. Honestly.
It's dangerous. It seems like you could easily break a thumb that way. I mean, isn't that what happened to Drew Brees when he broke his thumb?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. When he missed quite a bit. Yeah, I was going to say, it was a long time. It does say x-rays were negative, at least, though. Okay. Some good news for Stafford. Yeah, but that came out yesterday. He said he'll likely miss a few days. Nothing major.
Okay, so not a big deal. The reports coming out of San Francisco yesterday were really good for Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me, man. Did you guys see him, like, coming out there first practice, he had the flag. He was running around, hyping the fans up, hyping the players up.
Had,
I mean,
the 49ers flag, I guess.
Yeah, 49ers flag. And it's like, you don't see Garoppolo anywhere. Like, really having that same type of leadership.
It's smart of Trey Lance to try to win over the fans immediately. Although, I mean, like, I feel like he already has, because the new quarterback's always more popular than the average guy that's been there. So, like, the same thing. I mean, the reports from Justin Fields have been good, too. I saw Lewis Riddick, you know, really praising what he's seen and heard from Justin Fields in camp. So, the future, you know, the quarterbacks of the future on those teams might take over sooner than we think. I mean, like, that's kind of the go-to standard for these young guys now is like, hey, usually you're going to play right away.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on teams that aren't, you know, have a guy that's solidified by any means or, like, you know, won a bunch of games. Like, Alex Smith was able to keep that job over Patrick Mahomes because he at least, like, had gone to the playoffs the year before.
Yep.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's won a lot of games.
He didn't last year. He didn't last year. I mean, he had a bad year the year before.
Mm-hmm. Injuries. I mean, he only played six games last year.
That's fine. That's fine, but like...
He's 24-8 overall. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
But last year, he left a bad taste in people's mouth. Like, it's another year of can't stay healthy. Again, where it was Alex Smith, I mean, that was the year before they made the move to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the year before when they drafted him and made him sit for a year, I mean, they're not coming off of a second-round loss to the Patriots, right? Didn't they win a playoff game and then lose in, like, Foxborough?
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
So, like, I mean, at least he had, like, gone to the second round and, like, hadn't, like, you know, hadn't, like, soured on people. And then they lose to the Titans next year in the playoffs, and Alex Smith, you know, shows, like, I'm not getting you over the hump. And then it's easier to make the switch to Mahomes.
Yep.
You know, obviously, Fields ain't got to overcome anybody like that. He's trying to beat Andy Dalton, who hasn't, like, you know, made the fan base mad, but just ain't anybody's got him excited.
And as soon as he has a bad game or a bad play, I mean, it's going to be bad, especially with the Bears fans. But I really could see Garoppolo playing for the whole season. I would not be shocked if he played the whole season.
At this point, I would be shocked if he played the whole season.
Really?
Because, I mean, the tone's already changed. You saw that, you know, before camp, Shanahan was saying, that's our quarterback, Garoppolo's our guy. And then yesterday he was asked, you know, about any chance Trey Lance starts week one. He's like, it's kind of hard to see it right now, but, you know, we'll see. Kind of already came off of a little bit like, Trey Lance was a lot better than we thought. Now, I'm not saying he'll be starting day one, but at this point right now, as you sit here August 3rd, I would be very, very surprised if Garoppolo played all 16 games.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, I am taking injury into my account there, but also that he could get pissed if they get off to I don't know what their schedule is at the start of the year or whatever. I feel like we've looked at it before, but you know, maybe they struggle out the gate a little bit, or maybe they need a boost in the arm. But, you know, taking Garoppolo's injury history into account too, like, I feel very confident Trey Lance will get a couple starts under his belt.
What if they just keep winning? Because
then they won't. Then they won't.
That's what I'm saying. I think they're a good enough team. I mean, got enough kind of reloaded back with all the injuries and everything coming back. I mean, and starts of the schedule is easy. Pretty easy. Well, the first two games, I mean, they play Detroit and Philly to start the season. Okay. They do play Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona, so I guess it gets a little bit tougher after that. But
those first two are easy, but also like ones that you have to come out and play well in.
Yeah, that's fair.
playing up against Man Campbell game one. Like week one, usually those like week one, you just have a couple upsets. Now usually it's not the first year coaches. The first year coaches usually aren't very good in game one. We need to keep an eye on that week one when we do our gambling picks. But like you gotta win in Detroit and Philly.
For sure.
Because then, like you said, Green Bay and then a big Seattle game and then at Arizona. Like you probably need to be at least 3-2, right? To go into that bye week without Trey Lance breathing down your neck?
Yep. Yeah, I would say so, because the Colts would be probably a decent game to bring in Trey Lance with the disastrous the Colts have been so far.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they're what they look like by the time that comes around. But, you know, first two games, both on the road, should win them, but need to play well in them because you're not playing against very good teams in Detroit and Philadelphia. But then, yeah, that Green Bay, Seattle, at Arizona run, that's kind of tough, especially – I guess they're both at least in San Francisco, so they got that going for them.
But I really do see Jimmy Garoppolo, like you said. I mean, he's just like Alex Smith. I think this is the same situation. I mean, I could see Lance sitting a whole year just because the Niners are going to win. Unless they pull the Dolphins situation where it's like Fitzpatrick was winning and they still decided to go with Tua. Maybe they could potentially do that. But, I mean, Garoppolo, I think, still pretty good, right? We can't say he's just awful all of a sudden. I mean, he did just go to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I know he missed the throw to Emmanuel Sanders, and I guess that's what people remember him by, but had some pretty clutch moments in that 2019 season. Four fourth-quarter comebacks in 2019, John.
Four
game-winning drives.
I don't like Garoppolo's game, really. Now, you know, maybe he holds onto this job for a year. We'll see. But I am worried about Garoppolo. To me, again, once you start kind of going in that wrong path, it's hard to come back with the same team. And it does feel like Garoppolo has gone down the path too far, which is why they traded, what, 2 first-round picks to move up to number 3 to draft his replacement?
Yeah, that is the thing.
So when you do that, to me, it's hard to win back over the coach and also win back over the fan base. Now, I don't know about how I don't know about how, like, San Francisco's fan base is outside of, like, just wanting to fight and stab people all the time. Like, are they one that's going to, like, boo him all the time, like, if he comes out and plays well, poorly? I don't know. So, the young guys might be getting in there sooner rather than later. Garoppolo doesn't seem like that'll be an actual option for the Colts, but they did talk about both Nick Foles and Marcus Mariota. And the worst that Jacob Eason looks during camp, probably the more likely they are to try to go make a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I should be a little careful because peak meltdown for a lot of people would be if Marcus Mariota beat the Titans with the Colts. That would be one of those, like, you win nothing games and lose everything. Nothing happens. So I might need to pump the brake a little bit.
They played pretty early, too. Was it week
3?
Is it week 3?
Yeah, week 3. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Feels good to talk some football. Both, I mean, really.
They're coming.
NFL and Vols. Tweeter writes in, your co-host, I assume is you, Draven, is mad about the QBs. Surprise. Yeah, we only have 4, but they're all in a new system. They only had a month of the new playbook with spring. We will see soon who put the time in the summer with the playbook and throwing on air. I don't know why you're so mad right now at the beginning of
they need a little more time.
Seems kind of weird to be so.
Again, it's more based on the comments. It's like, we have no idea. We have not had any progression. We've had no guy really step up at all, which I think is a little concerning. I don't think you necessarily have to have a starter in place, but I do think you have to have a guy that you feel pretty good about, that you think is the starter right now. I don't think that's too far-fetched.
Golish did have some nice things to say about Milton.
I did see that.
How big he was and how strong his arm was. So
move around.
Reading that, like, it does, between like what Heupel and Golish have both said, and again, bringing him in after that, it does feel like he'd be my bet right now.
Yep. How many games did he start with Michigan? Because I know he got benched, like, kind of halfway through the season, right? Isn't that how that went?
I want to say he got into, like, 6 weeks. Well, I guess they only played 6 games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did he only play like two or three games?
I don't know. I thought he made it all the way to the end of the year. And then maybe like in the last game
okay,
didn't
let's
play.
Let's see.
Is that not what happened with him?
Looks like he played...
He played all six games.
Yeah, he did.
But then the last game against Penn State was only one of three, so right, I think he'd got... I don't know if he got hurt or benched or what, but... Didn't play much against Rutgers, or didn't have great numbers against Rutgers. It was 5 of 12, so I can't... And it was a three overtime game, so I believe he actually got benched against Rutgers.
And then did he come back in? No, I guess not, because, I mean, he put 1 for 3 against Penn State the week after, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. 32 of 51. That's gonna be his stats at UT. 32 of 51.
Jeez.
I mean, he played pretty good against Indiana. He did throw two picks. I don't know. Maybe this
I don't guy. Know if I would say he played well against Indiana because a lot of that was garbage time too. They're down 17 a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of the time too.
Got killed by Wisconsin. Good Lord. 9 for 19. 2 interceptions.
Again. That's a part of what I'm saying. If they come out and say Joe Milton's your starter right now, I would be almost even more concerned about how terrible the quarterback room is. Yeah. Because what we'd go here and we'd look and we'd say, oh man, Joe Milton, who got benched and played terrible against Wisconsin and wasn't very good at Michigan, now he's already won the starting spot.
Mm-hmm.
That'd make me think we had zero depth and that we're in big, big trouble. But if you do the thing where you can say, hey, yeah, he won it. Look at the strides he's made. Wow, look at these arms. Look how great he looks in pictures. Allow the fans some time to warm up. Allow them some time to warm up to the idea. Talk themselves into it. Read the practice reports. Ah, practice reports are about to be back soon.
Ooh.
Ah, the practice reports.
Mm. I feel like Maurer, no matter what, is going to be kind of pretty negatively associated if he gets named the starter, right? I mean, I don't think anybody's going to get too excited about that
one. He
would
be the one pick that would make me the least amount of excited.
I think that would be the whole fan base. Yeah,
I think everyone would kind of agrees with that.
Yeah.
Bill Connelly did his SEC preview. You know, he does the S&P, does a lot of analytics.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what he says about Tennessee. Let's put it this way. If Tennessee hadn't graded out near the bottom of my 2021 stability rankings, I'd have known the math wasn't right. So they did stability rankings last week, basically, like how stable are all these programs. There were, 30 teams? 130 teams in the stability rankings. And Tennessee came in at number 127. Only two teams had more than 23 guys lost to the transfer portal. Kansas had 27, and Tennessee had 37.
Oh, my God.
So 14 more than the third-place team. Some of those were walk-ons, and not every player was a projected difference maker, but the Vols are the definition of unstable. There's still enough raw upside that Heupel could create some first-year magic. I wouldn't predict it, but it's technically possible. But after constant drama on both the two-deep and coaching staff, it's probably best just to not make any predictions about the Vols. So, you know, you talked about how, you know, the coach stability wasn't there, the roster stability wasn't there. You can't really rely on what Tennessee's doing. But, you know, it talks about Tennessee's projected to be the 49th best team, according to his S&P. So, yeah. 49th out of, you know, whatever, 64, 130, I guess. Average projected wins, 6.7, with 3.4 conference wins.
Take that.
Likely wins, Tech, Bowling Green, South Alabama, Vandy, South Carolina. Toss-ups, Pitt, Missouri, Kentucky, Ole Miss. So nothing really there in terms of anything new. We've looked at those schedule predictions before with his numbers. Being unstable isn't the same as being bad. The Vols could make Josh Heupel's first season a successful one by playing well as a favorite and winning a toss-up game or two. So, again, something we could do. Get to 6 or 7 wins. Maybe 7. What we learned about Tennessee in 2020, he writes. Drama is never far away.
That's very true.
In October of 2020, the Vols were 2-0 and on an 8-game winning streak when they visited Georgia and took a halftime lead on the Dogs. Things fell apart in a millisecond. They were outscored 27-0 in the second half. And excluding a win over hapless Vandy, they lost their last 6 games by an average of 34-14. Oof, man. Over the last year, nearly 40 Vols have entered the transfer portal, and Heupel brought in quite a few transfers too. Changes everywhere. Heupel is one of the few coaches capable of using constant tempo to his advantage. Okay, that's good.
Yay.
The quarterback choice will also have to deal with the massive turnover skill. Will have to deal with the massive turnover in the skill core, as only two of the last six top offensive linemen return as well. Okay, so that's not good. The defense, most of last year's secondary returns. UT ranked 125th in passing success. So we'll see if that's a good thing. Okay, so let's see. Yeah. Okay. So not a lot of new information there. Does get me excited. He says he thinks Tennessee can, you know, that Heupel can is still one of the few coaches that can use tempo to their strength. Because it does seem like everyone tries tempo. But he says, hey, Tennessee should be one of the only ones that can still do it effectively. At least their coach can.
In the first year.
That transfer portal stat is so jarring, though.
Oh, it's 37. Terrible. It's terrible.
Whenever third place was at 23. That seems problematic. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three of headlines. We've got some Tuesday trivia coming at you. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.